The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, May the 15th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Donald Trump Jr. now set to testify before the Senate Intel Committee next month. Also on our Wednesday rundown, roads, bridges, and dams study during Infrastructure Week. Plus a look at how new fencing could make solar farms more wildlife friendly. Topping our news, National Public Radio reports Donald Trump Jr. has reached a compromise with the Senate Intelligence Committee to testify before the panel. That's according to a source familiar with the negotiations. That deal comes less than a week after the committee's initial subpoena inflamed tensions between the GOP-led panel and the White House. NPR says the mid-June interview will be limited in time, no more than 4 hours, although no topics are off-limits. The primary agenda is reported to focus on knowledge Trump Jr. may have had about the proposed Trump Tower Moscow project, as well as the Trump Tower meeting with a Russian delegation offering dirt on Hillary Clinton. After that pothole rattled your teeth on the drive to work this morning, you may be happy to hear that this is Infrastructure Week. More on the story from Mark Richardson.
Lawmakers are discussing ways to repair roadways, bridges, dams, and other projects across the country that are crumbling from age and lack of maintenance. The White House and congressional leaders are considering a $2 trillion infrastructure improvement plan. But Sharon Pinkerton with Airlines for America says her group is concerned that they'll try to increase the passenger facility charge to invest in airport modernization, which she says isn't necessary.
Revenue that's raised on the airport should stay at the airport and be reinvested in the airport. We support continued robust investment in airport infrastructure. We just don't believe that passengers need to be left holding the bag with increased taxes.
Arizona's airports got high marks, a B- from the American Society of Civil Engineers in its most recent rankings. But Arizona's 66,000 miles of roads and highways were in poor condition with a D+ rating. Its dams, water and wastewater systems, and public transit systems were also found lacking.
And a resolution to let Connecticut voters weigh in on allowing early voting failed to get enough votes in the Senate to be on next year's ballot, but it can come back.
Connecticut is one of only 11 states that doesn't allow early voting. To change that requires amending the state constitution. The resolution to put the question on the ballot passed in the House by a 5-1 margin, but the count in the Senate was 4 votes short of the 75% supermajority needed to place it on the ballot next year. According to David McGuire at the ACLU of Connecticut, the question can go on the ballot if it passes both houses with a simple majority in 2 consecutive legislative sessions. The next session begins in 2021, so the earliest it could go on the ballot would be 2022.
We've heard clearly both from our members and the general public that people want the ability to vote early. So I'm confident that we'll get there. Unfortunately, it's going to be a longer path than we had hoped for.
Once approved by voters, legislation would still need to pass to enact the change, which means early voting wouldn't be an option until 2024. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Despite gaining majority support in both houses of the General Assembly, some senators voted against that resolution in Connecticut, claiming that early voting could lead to voter fraud. It is Mental Health Awareness Month. Eric Tiganoff tells us states like Idaho are falling behind other states on this front.
The group Mental Health America ranks Idaho 2nd worst for prevalence of mental illness and lack of access to care. Beverly Hines, president of the Idaho Mental Health Counselors Association, believes the state took a step forward by passing Medicaid expansion. She says she and other counselors have been working free of charge with folks who fell into the Medicaid gap, those who made too much to qualify for the program, but not enough to afford care. But Hines worries that adding work requirements will hold that progress back.
Even though voters have stated this is something that they want, there are lawmakers who are trying to roll it back and minimize still access in terms of requiring people to work 20 hours a week and such, putting obstacles in the way of people getting help.
More than 60% of Idaho voters approved Medicaid expansion in November, but Governor Brad Little signed on to allowing work requirements, saying they will encourage self-sufficiency. The requirements need federal approval in order to be implemented.
Advocates say that mental health care can benefit anyone facing difficulties in their lives, including unemployment and the loss of a loved one. And finally, Natty Romligon reports permeable fencing could help make solar energy facilities in North Carolina more wildlife-friendly.
The Nature Conservancy, along with the North Carolina Pollinator Conservation Alliance and other groups, has teamed up with solar companies to figure out how to better integrate solar farms into the landscape. Around 40 acres of land in the state is being used to harvest solar energy, a number that is expected to increase. On these sites, hundreds of solar panels generate electricity that's fed into a grid, supplying consumers with clean energy. Liz Kayles is a scientist involved in the permeable fencing project.
We identified that there are a bunch of practices out there that could be applied to solar farms. So people could install things like this wildlife permeable fence, which is a fence with larger holes in it than a traditional chain link fence. And the idea is that it allows for small to medium-sized animals to move freely through the fence.
Charlotte-based developer Birdseye Renewable Energy was the first to install permeable fencing at one of its facilities in Tennessee.
The new fencing, along with other techniques like planting pollinator vegetation, could help balance out the environment impact of solar farms. I'm Mike Clifford, and thanks for starting your day, News and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and you'll find us online at publicnewsservice.org.